I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 19 in just a moment. Some of you by now have heard my testimony about things, and you've heard my spiritual life, and some of you have known me personally and learned about me a little bit as your pastor over these years. I've just some quirks and some things that I've grown up with, some things that I haven't grown up with. But one of the things that I haven't grown up with is I was not much of an outdoorsman. My dad was not a hunter or a fisherman. My dad was not a sports enthusiast in that kind of sense. And so I didn't grow up camping. I didn't grow up in the outdoors in a sense. I wasn't a Boy Scout. I graduated with the thought of if you can't tie a knot, tie a lot. Amen. You know, that's my version of Boy Scouting. And so I never learned how to make a campfire. I didn't know how to do that at all. Well, many of us know that over the last several years, fire pits have become very popular in homes. And of course, we had to have a fire pit because that would just be a lovely time to be able to be together as a family. And then as our family came along and our kids got a little older, we discovered that camping really is cool. Camping's a fun time. Now, growing up, you camped at the Hampton Inn. That's where you camped, okay? And that was my family's idea of camping. But as we've gotten a little older and my family has come along, we enjoy camping. And so I had to learn how to make a fire. And again, I wasn't an outdoorsman. I didn't go camping as a kid. I didn't graduate from Boy Scouts. And so I had to be the man and make the fire. And my first couple of fires were, they were disasters because, you know, I had the pieces of logs, wood that was there, and you know, I had them stacked on top of the newspaper that I was going to ignite and light up, and I would ignite the newspaper, and sure enough, it would catch on fire, and it would burn, and then it would just kind of burn out, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get the fire started. Well, I learned after a few times that you have to allow a fire to be able to breathe. And that chain reaction of fire and fuel and oxygen is really what enables a fire to be able to start and to ignite. And so I've learned that you got to have a little bit of kindling. You got to have some small sticks and some things at the bottom of your fire pit. And then, you know, you kind of lay some paper towels, or you've got newspapers, or you got something you can light up pretty quick. And then you kind of do the teepee. You know, you put your pieces of wood and your logs on top and make the teepee there. And so you light something very quickly. And then the kindling, the small sticks there begin to burn. And as that fire burns, the small fire that burns, it begins to light on fire the wood that's there. And then now you've got a really nice fire and you've got a really nice fire pit. And I look like I really know what I'm doing. You know, the Lord smiled on me to be able to figure all of those things out, and had a good next door neighbor that would laugh at me many times when he would come over to the house and we would share a fire pit. But Mark McComb taught me how to do that, and he was a great neighbor. So I've passed that down to Blake now. Blake is the fire starter at our house. He's the one that gets the fire pit and the campfires going, and he does a great job with that. I want you to keep that picture in your mind for a second of that fire that's burning, that flame that's burning, that igniting there of that flame and that burning of that wood in your mind. As we continue this morning in our Bible study and my teaching series, Words to Live By. And we add two more words. Today will be the last day this morning in our AM worship service. Tonight in our PM worship service, we'll finish out these words that the Apostle Paul gave to the church at Thessalonica, and as he's given to us to be able to know how that we're to live. And again, why are we studying these words? We're trying to live the gospel so that we can share the gospel. As we saw in the video clip there, we're praying that God transforms us to the vessels that he wants us to be, so that we'll live according to his word. And as we live this out, then we'll be able to share the gospel and in efforts to try to make disciples of those that are around us. And so today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And so our word to live by today is kind of the opposite objective of what he writes in this verse here. Our word today is the word kindle, and how important that word is in our life. And especially as Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, there's two main questions that we're going to try to answer today, and there's two main sets of answers that I want to give you in answering these questions about who the Holy Spirit is, what He does, and how you and I are not supposed to quench the Spirit, or what we do to quench the Spirit on a regular basis. And so let's go to question number one of exactly who is the Holy Spirit and what does the Holy Spirit do? Now, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an inanimate object. He is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Holy Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And those are three in one. And so as the Bible tells us this, we understand that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is important. And Scripture says that He has a mind, He has emotions, and He has will. Notice these points here as we look in Scripture. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit thinks and knows, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians chapter 4. The Spirit intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8. He makes decisions according to His will in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as God, the Holy Spirit can truly function as the comforter and the counselor that Jesus promised in John chapter 14 that He was going to be to us. And so as we understand the Holy Spirit, we understand that the Holy Spirit, that He has a very important job, that He is a very important person, and that He has a very important impact on our lives. And here's the best part, in a sense. John chapter 14, that when an unbeliever, when a person confesses their sins and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit begins to indwell in us. And so today, if you call yourself a Christian, you are a child of God, you are a believer, today you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, the third part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is living inside of us. Now, that's exciting to me. And as I get older and as I become more spiritually mature, I understand the value, I understand the significance of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And as He guides me and He directs me, sometimes He convicts me and challenges me, and I'm thankful that He does those things. And so He is a very important person in the life of a believer, and we recognize Him today. But He also carries out several important roles. One of the things that He does is He regenerates and He renews the believer. According to Titus chapter 3, at the very moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit begins to baptize you and I into the body of Christ. Then as we confess our sins and we become Christians, then we are baptized through the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit also brings confidence to us as believers. I'm thankful today that we have the Spirit of adoption. And that Spirit of adoption as believers now says that we can cry out to the Father. We can cry to Him, Abba, Father. We can come to Him. There's a confidence of knowing that God, as my eternal Father, He loves me. And I can be 100% secure in my salvation of knowing that He has provided that to me. How does that happen? That comes through the adoption of the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit gives us that kind of confidence. But the Holy Spirit also provides us wisdom as well. The Bible says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And so as the Holy Spirit is comprehending the thoughts of God, and as you and I as believers now are filled with the Spirit of God, you know what the Spirit of God enables us to do? As we read verses of Scripture, as we go through chapter after chapter, and we begin to read and our mind and our intellect begins to understand what's on the pages, then the Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom to know that more than just a word that connects to a word or a thought that connects to a thought, now this is what God wants you to know. This is what God wants you to understand. And as you read the Word of God, you feel like, man, I can understand this. I feel like I'm understanding who God is, and I feel like I'm understanding what God wants me to know, and I'm realizing that this is the will of God for my life. How does that happen? That happens because of the power of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. And He knows the very thoughts of God, and we're thankful for that today. But we continue on about the Holy Spirit. Not only does He give us wisdom, but the Bible also says that He sanctifies the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit sets Himself against the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit is against the culture of this world. And so as the Holy Spirit is indwelling inside of us and He is against the desires of the flesh, He's against sin, then what does He do in our life? He begins to guide us. he begins to direct us in the way that we're supposed to go. You ever had a thought come to your mind and immediately it was like conviction ran over you and you thought, I shouldn't be thinking about that. You ever seen something on TV and you're like, maybe I just need to turn the channel. You know, well, how does that happen? Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit inside of us is against the desires of our flesh. And so he's leading us into the paths of righteousness. And he does that each and every day. And so he sanctifies us. The Bible says that he gives us wisdom. The Bible says that he gives us confidence of knowing that we are Christians. But the Bible also says to us that he gives gifts to us as believers. Each one of us. We have been gifted by God to be able to use that gift, to be able to use that talent for the Lord. And it may be preaching, it may be singing, it may be taking care of babies, it may be praying with someone, it may be counseling, it may be writing a card to someone, a word of encouragement. Who gives those gifts? The Bible says to us that the Holy Spirit of God gives those gifts to us to enable us to be used into the kingdom of God. And so as we understand who the Holy Spirit is, and we begin to understand what the Holy Spirit does, I hope you understand that the Holy Spirit is very important and he's very impactful in our lives each and every day. So in light of this, in light of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, Paul says to us now, verse 19, he says, do not quench the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the very person of the Holy Spirit. The metaphor quench there means to extinguish or stifle or to retard in some capacity the power or the energy of something. Now, many times the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as a fire. And especially as you read through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 2, 3, and 4 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit being that of a fire. And so as you understand that Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is a fire, and now Paul says that we're not to quench the Holy Spirit here, we begin to understand that as Paul is writing to the Corinthians or to the Christians there at Thessalonians or Thessalonica, he's telling them and he's telling us that we have to be careful that we do not smother, that we do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a regular basis. And so, as I said to you a moment ago, that Blake was the fire igniter in our family. Well, Olivia is the fire extinguisher in our family. And for years, every time we've done a fire pit or every time we've done some kind of campfire, she's always wanting to take her drink or take some water, and she'll always say, Dad, can I pour this on the fire? And I'm like, no. No, I mean, I've worked too hard to get this fire to be perfect here. Your mom's over there freezing to death, and if this fire goes out, it's all my fault. No, you can't pour your drink on the fire. No, you can't pour this cup of water on the fire. You can't do that. Why? Well, it's obvious. You pour any kind of liquid onto the fire, it's going to put the fire out. And so again, as you're thinking of this mental picture here, what Paul is saying to us as who the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells inside of us each and every day and what he does for us, then Paul says, hey, listen, don't put that fire out. Don't pour anything on that fire that's going to cause it to extinguish. Don't do anything that's going to quench it there at all. And so when the fire power of the Holy Spirit is extinguished in our lives, then I think what happens to us is that we lose the effectiveness to be able to live out the gospel. Now again, let's look at big picture for a second. Over these last 4 or 5 weeks, what have we looked at? We've looked at living out the gospel so that we can share the gospel. We can't share the gospel in a sense if we're not living out the gospel. And so as Paul tells us here to live out the gospel, he's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit, he's one that enables you, enables us to be able to live out the gospel. And if you're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're losing your effectiveness to be able to truly live out the gospel and to be able to share the gospel with other people. And when there's no effectiveness in the gospel for us, there's no power to praise. There's no power to witness. There's no power to help. There's no power to teach. There's no power to serve. There's no power to grow. And so when we're retarding, in a sense, the power of the Holy Spirit, we're extinguishing and stifling and smothering his power in our lives, then we're losing that power to sing. We're losing that power to witness. And we're all consumed with self. We're all consumed with our selfish desires. And we lose in our effectiveness. May I say this truthfully today? This idea of quenching the Spirit of God. I really believe, as a pastor and as I see our congregation and I see other churches and I see even the just Christianity as a whole, I think quenching the power of the Holy Spirit is one of the reasons that so many Christians and so many churches today are seeing so little fruit in their lives is because we're not allowing the power of the Holy Spirit that God has enabled to dwell in us, that Jesus promised would come to live inside of us, and we're not allowing Him to be all-powerful in our lives. We're not allowing Him to be able to use what talents and abilities and powers and resources that He has to be able to help us. And so because of that, we're not living out the gospel. And if we're not living out the gospel, we're not sharing the gospel. And if we're not living the gospel and sharing the gospel, then we're not seeing disciples made. And you can see that that's one of the great reasons why that we're seeing so little fruit is we're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person in the Holy Trinity of God. What does He do? He gives all of those great, great things that we talked about a moment ago, and He is so impactful in our lives. But now let me answer this question. So how do we quench the Holy Spirit? If you're telling me then that we're quenching the Holy Spirit, if you're telling me then that we're not seeing fruit in disciples and the gospel being shared because we're not living it out, because we're stifling the power of the Holy Spirit, then what are we doing? How are we causing that? What's causing us to quench the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me give you five answers to that very quickly, and I think these are all appropriate. We quench the Holy Spirit by living in sin. Now, I said a moment ago that the Holy Spirit can be grieved as a person. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to put any verses on the screen, but I want you to see something for just a second. As you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and you see in verse 30, where Paul says, you know, don't quench the Spirit there. He's saying there that it's important for us that we not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But notice the verses around verse 30. He says we grieve the Spirit by living like the ungodly in verse 17, 18, and 19. He talks about lying in verse 25. He talks about being angry in verse 26 and verse 27. Verse 28, he talks about stealing. Verse 29, he talks about cursing. Verse 31, he talks about being bitter. Verse 32, he talks about being unforgiving. And then you flip over to chapter 5, in the first verse 3, 4, and 5, he talks about being sexually immoral. And so when you mix all of those things up, what's he saying? He says, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we live in sin. But secondly, we also quench the Holy Spirit by living in infancy. How do we grow as a Christian? We grow by feeding from the very Word of God. As the Word of God comes to us, the Bible, we understand the truths. We understand John 3:16. We begin reading through the book of John. We begin understanding the Old Testament and the New Testament and the prophecies of the Old Testament and them coming true in the New Testament, the doctrines that are given in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the theology. All of that comes from us digesting, reading, understanding, educating ourselves, living out what we've learned from the Word of God. And we begin to grow that way. But when we fail to study Scripture, when we do not live in humility of God's Word in our life, when we're rebellious against what the Word of God teaches us, when we fail to hide it into our hearts, when we do not allow it to dwell richly inside of us, then what's happening is that we are hurting ourselves from growing. And we sin, in a sense, by living in infancy. And so we grieve the power of the Holy Spirit when we sin. We grieve the power of the Holy Spirit when we're living in infancy. We're not growing. We're not reading God's Word. We're not praying. We're not being faithful to attend church and faithful to attend Bible study. We're not doing those things. This past spring, late spring, early summer, I planted an azalea bush. There was a spot inside of our house, some landscaping. I planted an azalea bush. And I saw it a couple weeks ago, and I thought, wow, that azalea bush, I don't think it's going to make it. And then I thought, well, I thought of the place that I bought it from, and I thought, well, I need to take that back. You know, they sold me a bad azalea bush. It's not growing. And then I began to realize how many times I've actually watered it. And then I began to realize how many times I've actually fertilized it. And then I began to realize how many times that it's on perhaps the wrong side of the house to get direct sunlight like it needs. And then I began to realize that it's not growing because I've not helped take care of it. You know, one of the reasons why many Christians who've been saved for a number of years are still in spiritual infancy? Because they've not taken care of themselves. They've not grown from God's word. They've not been faithful to attend church. They've not been faithful to serve and to get involved. They've not been faithful to really take living for God seriously. And they're living in infancy. And when you do that, you're stifling the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, we quench the Holy Spirit by living in fear. Remember I said to you a moment ago that one of the great roles of the Holy Spirit is to give us confidence. Confidence of knowing that we're saved. Confidence of knowing that God loves us. But the Bible tells us here, and we understand that a believer will extinguish the work of the Holy Spirit by not accepting God's purposes in our lives, by not accepting God's will for our lives, by living in our sin and we're not worshiping, we're not being prayerful, we're not casting all of our care upon Him, we're not trusting in Him. We're not trusting Him with our problems. We're not trusting Him with our lives and the direction of where our lives are going. And so we're living in fear. I think back in my life and I think about some things that I haven't achieved for God, to be quite honest with you, because I've been fearful. I've been scared. I've been scared to take that step of faith. I've been scared to really step out and do what God wants me to do. I've been scared to really trust Him, and I've tried to solve it and I've tried to figure it out. It doesn't work that way. And what I've done is I've quenched the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to be able to do something not just spectacular, but to be able to see God work in me and through me in a mighty way. We also grieve the Holy Spirit by living in rebellion. Dr. John MacArthur says on this subject, he says, "The Spirit provides believers with a level path of guidance as He operates through providence and helps them make decisions in accord with the Father's will." You and I quench the power of the Holy Spirit when we work in selfishness, when we're stubborn, when we're prideful, when we're rebellious against God, when we're living according to what we want, and we know that we think what's best. What happens is we lose God's power. It's basketball season around here now, and we're starting to play some basketball, Gateway Christian Academy. Some of our high school teams have already played. We'll start playing a full round of games even this week, and I'm excited about coaching again this year. And one of the things I've learned about coaching basketball is that as a coach, or any sport, as a coach, one of the things you do is you try to teach your players to do what's right. You try to teach them the plays. You try to teach them how to react. You try to teach them the disciplines of the game. And as you do those things, you're trying to help them develop proper habits that it just becomes habitual in a game situation that they always do what's right. One of the things I've tried to tell them in teaching these young guys how to run a man-to-man offense is you have to trust the offense. You have to trust the play. There's picks, there's rolls, there's screens that happen. And as we do those things, you have to trust the play to play out, and the play will open up to give you an easy shot. And then oftentimes I stand there with my hands up in the air like this because they didn't trust the play. They operated themselves. They took the shot when they shouldn't have. We're setting up for an easy layup, and as soon as the guy gets the ball, he shoots the three. And I'm over here on the side, and I'm throwing my hands up going, did we not have practice this week? Did you guys not know? I just drew the play on the marker board for you at the timeout 30 seconds ago. Were you not listening? And it's as if they're doing things their own way. But then there's those brief moments that come, and they're brief, that they actually run the play. And there's a wonderful pick, and a guy comes open, and there's an easy layup, and they're like, oh my word, did you see that? And they look at me, and I throw my hands up in the air, and every time I do this and say, I told you so, that's what I tell them. I'm not being irreverent. I'm trying to make a point. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit looks at us and goes, I told you so. I told you. I told you. If you just trust me, if you wouldn't be rebellious, I told you. I told you this would happen. I told you that I would give you power. I told you that we'd make it through. I told you, but when we're living in rebellion, it's not going to happen. Number five, we quench the Holy Spirit by living in weakness. By living in weakness. One of the things that Paul prayed for the Ephesians was is that they would be strengthened in their power of the Spirit living inside of them. And when we're not living in that strength, when we're not living in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're living in weakness. And anytime we're living in weakness, then we're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not relying on the strength to overcome our pride and our overconfidence and our human ability. I said a moment ago, I said there's some things that I've not accomplished for God because I was scared to step out on faith, to really trust the Holy Spirit leading me. May I also say that there's some things that I've not accomplished, some things that God's not done in me and through me because I've just been weak My faith has been weak. I've been relying too much on myself. I've been relying too much on my human ability to overcome. And I've not really truly confidently allowed God to, through His Holy Spirit, to have control of my life. And I've lived in weakness. God doesn't want us to live in weakness. God wants us to live in power. God wants us to live in a sound mind. God wants us to live not in the spirit of fear, but He wants us to live knowing that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, and He can direct us, and He can guide us, and He can help us to overcome. When we're living in weakness, it's not going to happen. And so who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Godhead. What does He do? Wow, He regenerates us. He renews us. He gives us confidence. He enables us to have wisdom. He gives us gifts. But so many times we quench the power of the Holy Spirit, and Paul knew that was happening. The Holy Spirit knew it was going to happen to us. And so when we're living in sin, and there's spiritual infancy, and there's fear, and there's rebellion, and there's weakness, then what are we doing? We're quenching the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice this verse here, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." The verb "fan into flame" here means to stir again into fire, to kindle, if you will. Now, one of the things I learned about setting that fire is after I got the fire going, that my nice TP logs here, sometimes they would fall down, or maybe sometimes that the fire wouldn't, they wouldn't catch just instantly, and my little sticks and paper and newspaper were almost burnt out. So what would I have to do? I have to go and I have to put more sticks in there. Now, if you really want to get it good and smoky and get fire going pretty quick, you throw leaves in there, right? You know, and you really aggravate your neighbors. But you do something to get the fire going again. Apparently, Timothy had allowed the fire to kind of dwindle a little bit. Maybe he was living in weakness, and Paul understood that Timothy was going to carry on the mantle of the ministry, and he couldn't be weak. He couldn't live in fear. He couldn't live in rebellion. He had to live in trust, in trusting the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, "Timothy, you got to fan into flame that gift that's been given to you. You got to stir that again." And maybe today you need to be reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe God's called you into ministry. Maybe God's leading you into making this decision. Maybe God's trying to do something special to get you to truly say no to self and yes to the Spirit of God. Whatever that might be, maybe God is reminding you today to stir up that Spirit, to fan the flame there. You know, many times we talk about God, the Lord. We talk about God, and we'll thank God for His creation, and we'll pray to God, "Oh God, help me." We'll sing songs about Jesus. And as we sing songs about Jesus, "Jesus, thank you for paying it all for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me." Sometimes we're like Paul or like Peter walking on the water. "Help me, Jesus, I'm about to drown." And it's as if in our lives that God and Jesus are center stage in our life. But somehow when it comes to the Holy Spirit, now, when we're in Sunday school class or we're in Bible study, we'll talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're three in one. But it's as if we kind of treat the Holy Spirit a little differently. And if you'll follow me for just a second, it's as if we treat the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is living backstage. We know He's there. We really can't see Him. We don't refer to Him often. But for whatever reason, He's kind of backstage and He's hiding. And I wonder sometimes, and again, I'm not being irreverent, but I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit in our lives is going, "Hey, I'm back here. Hey, Jesus said that He was going to send me to be the comforter. I'm who you need. I'm who God has directed me to live inside of you." And He's in the background going, "Hey, I need to be center stage in your life as well." I don't know what God is doing in your life. Maybe you're realizing that the power of the Holy Spirit, that what's going on, the confusion and the turmoil, is not necessarily somebody else. It may not even be you, but maybe it's the power of the Holy Spirit churning and developing and pushing you out and pushing you to do what God wants you to do and pushing you to really take a stand for the Lord. And He's in, you're keeping Him in the background. But he's not backstage. He needs to be center stage. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I often think so many times of how many times we really don't consider what we do to quench the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a fire extinguisher we have at our house. Just a common general fire extinguisher. Use it in the kitchen. Use it for your car. Just use it for different things. And of course, obviously the hose comes out here. You pull the plug and you squeeze and all the foam comes out and be able to put the fire out. Some of you have had to use these before. You've caught something on fire, maybe in the kitchen, maybe you're working on the car, something, leaves caught on fire. Maybe there's a fire pit that got kind of bad and you had to use one of these. I think there are some Christians, honestly, and you don't recognize it because, first of all, if you think the Holy Spirit is living backstage, then you're the person I'm talking to. But it's as if we walk around with a fire extinguisher and we live in sin and we're putting out the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're living in fear and we're squeezing and we're putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit because of our spiritual infancy. We're walking around every day and we don't realize it, but our hands on the trigger. And when we're living in fear and we're living in weakness, what are we doing? We're squeezing the trigger. And every time we squeeze the trigger, we're putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we're putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we're putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so what does Paul say? He says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't. Put your fire extinguisher away. And as you put your fire extinguisher away, realize the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire that He is inside of you, and live for Him. Accept what He wants to do in your lives. But you know, one of the other things that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit is that God uses the Holy Spirit to draw unbelievers to Him. Some of you are sitting in church today and you feel like your chest is pounding a little bit. Maybe you feel a little guilt and the weight. That's sin in your life. I remember even as a teenager coming to church, as a young person, sitting in Sunday school classes and sitting in church services. And man, I was under such conviction because I knew that I was lost and I knew that I needed to be saved. And boy, it just seemed like I was miserable during a church service. Why? Because that was the power of the Holy Spirit convicting me and drawing me to God. I'm thankful as a 16-year-old teenager that I surrendered my life to God and I gave myself and I got saved as a teenager. Maybe today God's drawing you to Him today. And you're feeling that conviction, you're feeling that power of the Holy Spirit on your life, and God is trying to draw you to Him so that you'll give your life to Him in utter salvation. And as you do that, what happens? Then we start the cycle all over, and what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to indwell in us. And then what does He do? He enables us, He baptizes us into the family of God. He gives us wisdom. He helps us to have confidence. All the things that we've talked about today. So many times we walk around because of our sin, because of our lack of faith, because of our lack of trust. What do? We're quenching. We're putting the fire of the Holy Spirit out. May I say this today in the most theological way I can say it? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. We treat the Holy Spirit like He's not part of the Godhead. And we don't rely on Him. And because we're careless, we quench the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did Paul know that this church at Thessalonica needed? What did the Holy Spirit knew that we needed? That we needed the power of God living inside of us. They were facing persecution. They were facing a sinful world just as we are. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live the gospel so I can share the gospel. But can I be honest with you? I need the power of the Holy Spirit just to live every day. And if you're not praying in the Spirit, if you're not trusting the Holy Spirit, if you're not talking to the Holy Spirit, if you're not allowing His convicting and challenging power to change who you are, you're missing out. And so today, some of you may need to come and say, God, forgive me. I've got sin in my life. I've quenched You so many times. I didn't even realize it. Lord, please forgive me. Holy Spirit, become new to me today again. Some of you may be sitting here today and you're not a believer. You've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Boy, today, what you're feeling on the inside, that's God drawing you. That's God tugging at your heartstrings. That's God's pushing you because He wants you to be saved today. Just a moment, as we stand and as we pray and we sing, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. And as the Holy Spirit is leading you right now, and by the way, I know that He is, because He does it every single church service. It may be to come and pray. It may be to come and confess. It may be to come and get saved. Whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, hey, simply follow Him. Stop living for yourself. Stop living for the world and start following the Spirit of God. Kindle what God's doing in your life and watch God do something special.